order, the Clackamas County Board of Commissioners planning meeting on this June 28th, 2023. Administrator Gary Schmidt, you want to introduce?
Yes, Chair, thank you. This is a planning meeting of the Board of County Commissioners. All five commissioners are present. This is audio only, no video. It is airing live on Zoom and will be recorded and posted on the website. This is the chance for the board to get together to talk about anything you wish. It's a brainstorming, free-flowing session. You don't give direction to staff other than direct me, future policy sessions you'd like to have on any topics you discussed today. You don't have a set topic today other than Commissioner Savas had asked to talk about camping regulations related to homelessness in the county. So certainly you could do that or any topic you wish, but it's free-flowing today. Back to you, Chair.
We have a groundbreaking ceremony today at 4:30 in Cambria. Are all commissioners attending?
Yeah.
Okay, so we need a hard stop at 4 o'clock. I will adjourn this at 4 o'clock, even if we'll continue to talk. But, you know, that's 2 hours.
We should.
That's a lot of jawboning on any particular topics that we want to discuss today. I'm going to turn it over to Commissioner Savas. Go ahead.
Yeah, so thank you, Chair. Over the last several months, whether it's law enforcement, whether it's people who work, in certain industries related nonprofits into serving, the house's populations or whether it's businesses. And the concern has been around how, whether or not, and I'm not here to say, we hear that people, and I've even talked to the media about this as well. So the media has asked me as well. And so the media has done some background on this saying, are people coming to the Portland metro region, houseless people from other states? How much migration is that happening? Is that real? And there apparently has been some work to indicate that it's actually, again, I haven't seen the data. I want to research. I told that person that I really want to see the data drill down, but that the migration is actually within Oregon or it's within the region. And as a result of these discussions and throwing these things around, it became also clear that as Portland started talking back in April, as I recall, in a more substantive way about their camping ban policy, the concerns were being flagged, has been reached out to, says, hey, Ben, if they do that, you better do that too, because, a camping ban from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m., a lot of those people aren't going to move all their stuff all the time. They're going to go somewhere where they can stay, where there is no, they got to pack up every half a day, right? So, we saw Lake Oswego take some action. Wilsonville was a little bit unique because they had already had an ordinance that was likely to be challenged. I forgot what the bill number was that forced that to happen.
The ordinance that
Commissioner West
has been moved. I was part of the council that time.
Yeah, Commissioner West and I also attended the Wilsonville Cities Dinner.
Yep.
Well, Cities Dinner that was hosted by Wilsonville at this particular juncture. So we had some background on that from their attorney. That was great. But also West Lynn the night before that had done theirs as well. So now you have all the West Side cities, the large West Side cities have introduced a camping ban. And, I would say that some of these people that have reached out to me have also said, notice that at certain days of the week, they see an influx of new people. Last night, you heard one of our citizen members say, oh, well, we just do this, that, and everything, and we drop them off in Milwaukee.
Yep.
You all heard that last night.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. So it's been brought to my attention certain locations where maybe some of those people land, and I've witnessed some of that, by the way. Okay, well, on Thursdays or Fridays, why is it that suddenly we see X amount of people on this portion of this particular area that come out of nowhere? And so I just think that if we ought to consider a camping ban so we do not experience a motivation to migrate people, because we don't have the capacity in any kind of a transitional shelter to handle it right now, let alone a transitional housing, which is slightly different. So that's why I wanted to bring that up. And along with that, and following what Portland's been doing, and they apparently have brought in a company or a nonprofit from California. I forgot the name of it, but I followed that for a while and saw some of the policies that have been drafted about, or guidelines, how they're going to monitor that. There's some good stuff there, I think, that we could incorporate that also include parking. So, for example, if you are, I'll just use the Econolodge for as a model. If you're going to have the Econolodge and that's transitional housing, it would make sense to what they're suggesting, this other company that's been successful in setting leases up in other parts of the country, that you eliminate parking in that area and you don't put it near schools. And by eliminating parking, you don't get the motorhomes or some of the non-registered vehicles that suddenly site there, right? And they become a nuisance and they actually create more. And then, so we see some associations sometimes with how parking is, how people parking around those kind of areas is a nuisance at times. So I'm suggesting that, you know, you heard me talk about parking before for other reasons besides this. I just think that if we're the only government left, hypothetically, that does not have a camping ban, then we're going to be the landing place for a lot of people who choose not to be subject to the camping ban.
Marola was considering something. I don't know that they made a decision then, did they?
I believe they were very, if they haven't, they're very close to doing it, but they were further along than we were on their discussions. And I was there the one of the evenings we talked about it in that in our council meeting in Malala. A little bit of unique perspective because I was part of the Wilsonville City Council when they first started this. They adopted the final version of this policy just, you know, recently. So I feel like I was only 50% part of their policy with this. And theirs is a little bit unique compared to some of like what Sherwood is doing and what Canby did and what some other cities have done in that area. They, I think, maybe went a little bit more, a little step further than other cities were willing to go. But I think it is a, you know, I remember asking this question or thinking it early on and behind the scenes having a conversation with some of you people in this room and just saying, aren't we going to need to do something? I think it makes Oak Grove, Milwaukee, unincorporated areas specifically really vulnerable to public camping, and we could be caught flat-footed is my concern. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we're different as a county than a city. There's a lot of legal nuance with this that we'd have to rely heavily on your guys' expertise as we address this. But I think that it might be really prudent to start to develop some policy around this issue as we, you know, we have the legal realities that we have as local government. So, and I don't know exactly what that looks like in Clackamas County, but I think we might be a little bit behind. I guess we didn't have to react as quickly, like you said, Commissioner's Office, because there was an actual outright ban in the city of Wilsonville. So they had a deadline on which to address this. And maybe in our ordinances, I don't know if we do or don't, we don't have that same situation that Wilsonville, for example, specifically was dealing with. But I think one of the benefits we have to being a little slower on this and talking about it now is we get to see how all these little, it's like a little petri dish of policy making. We get to see how all these little entities, cities, municipalities did this. We can maybe get a cherry pick off a lot of good work that has already happened, but I think we should be taking a deep dive and seeing how we tailor something now based on what's been done to what's good for the county and the incorporated area. That'd be my thoughts.
I have some questions on this too. Is this a camping ban or is this a camping allowance?
Regulating sleeping in public places.
So in a way, it's a camping allowance because what I see, what happened in Wilsonville, they are allowing camping from this amount of time to this amount. So if we're trying to think it's a camping ban, if we set a policy like that, it's a camping allowance. You are allowed to camp, for instance, from 10 p.m. at night to 6 in the morning. That gives them permission to do it. So tell me from a legal perspective, how does that work?
You need to have objectively reasonable standards for time, place, and manner. Your place, public places. It won't be your parks. It might be county right-of-ways and things along. It could be the Red Soils campus, for all I know. Portland did time. It was like 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. on, well, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. You got to clear up and move out things along those lines. Manner, where do they go? How do you displace them? How do you enforce it? How do you monitor it? I would suggest if you're interested, happy to help, but you separate it from anything dealing with motor vehicles. That's a separate issue. So RVs, cars like down a Minuteman Way and all of those things, whether they're registered or not, you have that as a separate code or ordinance or enforcement mechanism than you do with this. City of Portland did a three strikes thing. Third time, if you violate it, they incarcerate you. We asked them what your authority for that was. We got the legal equivalent of Ted Wheeler's soundbite for the last week of we're going to stop this, and they realized you have legal authority for it. So those are some complications as well. You'd call it trespass. Trespass requires warnings, and maybe that's what theirs was based on, even though it doesn't say it. You can incarcerate after warnings and people continuing to violate trespass. That is a misdemeanor offense. So you could go down that path. Do you want to incarcerate? Do you want to displace? Do you want to provide accommodations for them? That's what the Boise case says, that you have to have an alternative spot for them. Do we have it? Have we evaluated? Do we have spots? A lot of moving pieces in this.
Jeff Mons, do you have a comment on this?
No, I mean, Steve is correct on all of those. If you want to go deeper, you end up having to really designate specific reasons why you would say absolutely no camping in this location. You did it other than a time. The place, you have to say, okay, no camping at a public properties that we own and give a reason why, like our health clinics or something, where it would interfere with operations, things like the safety and the clear zones and rights of way, things like this based upon our road code. But the Blake versus Grants Pass case, which is the one that came after Boise,
yeah.
Once you start imposing fines, you're right back in the same problem as Boise. It doesn't matter if it's incarceration, the financial penalties alone are enough. Trigger the same analysis. So,
Stephen, you mentioned time, place, and manner. What if we did only time? What if we just said no camping at all at any time in unincorporated Clackamas County?
At any time? That would be clearly unreasonable.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just throwing stuff out
because they say that
wall.
People
because I'm going to tell you. People listening to this, they're going to say, oh, you allowed for this camping to happen between this time and this time, commissioners. Why are you doing this? So, Paul, I am not in disagreement with what you want to do. My role in this is as the devil's advocate in this going forward.
Yeah, I see your point by saying there's a camping ban. Sure, on the flip side of it, it is a camping allowance under certain conditions in certain places. So, to the conversation from legal counsel just had when we listened to legal counsel speak to this, and she did identify, hey, I'm not your legal counsel.
Yeah.
I work for the city of Wilsonville. So she qualified her comments. But what they're doing is they did an assessment of their house's population and said X percentage was cars, people sleeping in their cars, which is a larger percentage for them. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to. And then a smaller percentage was actually people that were without cars, right? That would pitch a tent, let's just say. So the way they accommodated it was with identifying spots near their city offices in the park. What's the name of your park near the offices?
It's a little swath of land directly across the street from City Hall, and they can park certain RVs actually. There's an exorbitant amount of unused parking at City Hall in Wilsonville. So on the back end of the parking lot, you can park, I guess, RVs at City Hall now. I mean, personally, as a Wilsonville resident, I was not ooey gooey about this. I wouldn't have a lot of warm fuzzies about what they proposed specifically with their camping location and sites where they're at. They went a little further. That's where they went a little further than a lot of jurisdictions. Yeah, I don't mean to interrupt.
So my point was that they accommodated both. And when I talked to some of the advocates that work with them, it says the upside of this is they're there, you know when they're there, and then you can get them the services to transition them into hotels or whatever so that they're accessible, right? When they're out somewhere, you can't find them or they're moving around, then you really can't bring them the services. So it becomes a connection for services, navigation, that and so forth to help them get where they need to go. But we've got to have the the place or places, as Mr. Badcor outlined. So I guess we're just throwing things on the wall right now, but you know, I'm assuming you're right. It is partly saying it is okay under certain conditions, but we also know, being honestly, just being, you know, intellectually honest, that it already is happening. So therefore, yeah. how do we remedy it, and how do we make our HVS staff, you know, more successful? And I think that just needs some capacity building.
And to the funding available to do this, where does that come from? It's a broader discussion, Gary, and staff can be thinking about that. I know other commissioners want. So I was thinking, okay, fine. I think the funding should be there. I don't understand why it wouldn't be, maybe through SHS and all this.
It is.
Yeah, so, but it is going to be a cost, and it is going to take some personnel. Commissioner Schultz.
Yes. If we were to implement a camping ban from 8 in the morning to 8 at night, for example, that means the person who's living in the vacant lot next to your house has got to be up and moving between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. But what about all the hovel that accompanies that person? Does that stay there? And if it does, what is the real effect of the camping ban? If I have a hovel, a tent, and junk, and all the trimmings of being a homeless person next to my house, and the sheriff comes by and says, "Mr. Jones, you can't stay here from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. But all this junk does, what benefit is it to me?"
Yeah, and Wilsonville did address that. And that they had storage, because by law, you have, if you seize or you come across belongings, you have to hold that for them. So they, I think, I don't know if they said shipping containers, but they had storage facilities in mind for that.
And if itemize it, you have to make, like, what did you take? You have to have, like, store the stuff for a certain period of time.
So then at 8:01, if the hovel is there, somebody from the city, or in this case the county, could come in and inventory it and move it away, move it out of there to a storage facility. Is that correct?
So you have to, in Wilsonville, I think it's 8 to 8 or 9 to 7 or something like that. If you're still there, they can arouse you and make you move on. Right? You don't get to stay there when it's not camping time. You don't just get to hang out. That's a hassle. But for the law, they're taking extra efforts to literally store people's stuff. I also believe that without any real, like, pressure or some type of inducement of better behavior, that this is a nightmare for Wilsonville potentially. Like, I'll be careful what I say, but I don't want parts of my city to look like, I'll just say Portland. I guess that's a great analogy. And I think sometimes, you know, the concern is that we're going to have pockets that just look like that, and it's almost impossible to, like, regulate and to manage with not a lot of effort that none of us have the resources for. Can I jump in on something here?
And then Commissioner Schreier.
Yeah, or I can even wait, because not everybody has to speak. I don't have to. Okay. So with that, also, Wilsonville is tiny compared to Clackamas County unincorporated, right? And so they have one spot. Cool. I mean, we're talking, like, you're going to really tell somebody in Sandy that they have to come all the way to Oregon City to our camping location? Are we going to transport them? Are they going to just be hitchhiking down the 26 and the freeway to get over here? Are we going to literally have to manage multiple satellite locations across a giant camp? How many square miles are we?
450-something.
I mean, are we going to be all the way down by Warm Springs? I mean, it's a little, but we're a big county, right? So, like, on a scale of a city is also a lot different on a scale of one of the largest counties in the state, not just geographically, but by population. So that, I mean, that's another thing that's my concern is and piggyback off that, and then I'll pass the speaking baton here, is can you, Jeff and Steve, can you guys give me a little bit of a clear description on why some type of criminal accountability, some inducement pressure from the justice system. What political, what legal theory is prohibiting us from taking that kind of action? Or is there a way for us to be creative and maybe explore further what Portland and Mayor Wheeler were unable to accomplish? Can we wrestle with that a little bit? And I'd love to know the legal reasoning behind why that would not work or why it may work.
As it pertains to camping?
So somebody's camping, or we're trying to work with them. We're trying to get them into treatment. You know, you give them multiple chances. You mentioned trespassing, and right up to certain points, like, I'm sorry, this is not, you're breaking our local ordinance. You can now be, you know, for whatever amount of days put into jail or whatever. There's some accountability piece. There is not just a long suffering forever to allow you to live like this in public spaces. I think that fighting for people's right to clean and vibrant public spaces is also super important. We just tend to lack the tools. Is there a creative way, where maybe Portland didn't have the political will or the chops to get it done? Is there a way in Clackamas County that we can add that layer to this policy?
Whenever you criminalize anything, you're adding complications and risk and liabilities to it all. And that's what the Grants Pass case says. That's what Boise says. It's a violation of the Eighth Amendment cruel and unusual punishment standard when you're imprisoning somebody because of a condition that they are involuntarily presented with. It's an addiction. It's a economic. It is an alcoholic. It is, if you're homeless, you lost your job, you can't avoid that, right? You can't afford a hotel, you can't afford a house. So the court has said Eighth Amendment, cruel and unusual punishment. So you can't penalize for that. You cannot even cite a financial, that's what the Grants Pass case, you can't even cite them for dollars when they're in that condition through no fault of their own. So whenever we think about imposing a criminal sanction, it complicates it and makes it much more difficult.
But if we're offering the other alternative, we're not saying we're penalizing. We're saying you have this hotel room, you have this opportunity, you can park here. We're going to help you. Here's all our services. Here's the heat, and we're coming with all the supports unit that we can give you. We empathize with you, and they still will not go there.
If you had all that, Commissioner, I think you're looking good then. If you said
that's the goal.
Look,
so I want treatment. I want hope. I want help. I want people to not live that way. I don't want them to have a criminal penalty. But at a certain point, there is that is the only thing to help induce change is accountability. We have a lot of parents in the room. I think we all know this, right? Like, at a certain point, nobody wants to go there. I hope to God we never have to. But I think we have to talk about at what point do we have that in our policy.
Okay, Martha.
Okay, so let's think about this in a way. Okay, so what's the most humane way to deal with this? I understand what you're saying, and I'm not saying it's I think the accountability piece, if we provide all of this. So we seem to have had good luck. I'm just trying to connect dots here with the family, with the livability piece. Remember we mentioned that last night?
That was, it was not so much houseless, though. That was the nuisance properties.
Nuisance properties, but can that be expanded to camping as a nuisance on a property where we deploy? I don't know if we have the capacity for that. If we can deploy what those folks are doing with nuisance properties. I thought that actually our DEA was going to homeless encampments and helping people move and helping people clean up and helping.
That's
not right.
Yes, but it's a different program. It's not the NLP.
Okay, so what's the program that our DEA does where he goes out? What are we calling that? He and a bunch of the other advocates are.
I know what you're talking about, Mark.
Yeah.
What is the name of that program?
Lead is
that's what,
yeah,
okay. That's what I was thinking of last night too. The neighborhood livability, but the LEAD program. Let's take a look at that a little more closely and see what the capacity is, so we can give people an opportunity to succeed or get somewhere. But again, then if there's no other option, I see what you're saying, but it should be an option as the last resort.
Absolutely, last resort.
Okay, it should be an option. We don't want to criminalize it, but Well, why don't we, let's take a look at what Leeds has been doing, and is that an answer, and do they have the capacity, should we have all this movement here in our county? To me, that would be a humane way to approach it, but it's a lot more work. It's a lot more labor intensive. Is it starting a new program? Well, it's already there, but so how do we... And I suspect if we got our community nonprofits together and the faith community, I think we'd have people actually helping with it. What, I mean, is that a crazy idea?
No, it's not a crazy idea.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, well, if we have that, yeah. People willing to, they're looking. Catholic worker movement is looking to do this kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know? So parallel, I mean, to complement that is that, they're talking about it now. They're just walking. It's not, you can listen to the council talk, it's not as though they wish to criminalize, but it's an opportunity to interface.
Make the connection.
And to make the connection, right, and to implement the programs that get them in a better place. And actually, and move them to a place that's maybe more suitable, right, that maybe I have, the bathrooms or the showers and some of those amenities that, again, that getting back to the humane piece, there is that element to it.
Yeah,
if they get in the right place. As far as the unincorporators, I want to just let you know the unincorporators are all over 82nd Avenue. All of 82nd Avenue is unincorporated. The 26 corridor, we heard that last night, all the way to Welch as we heard it. The 212 corridor, not all of it's, but a lot of the 212 corridor is unincorporated as well. But it's all over.
Right, we were just out there by the Cascade Heights School, by Camp Worth to Come, and that issue that you just those pictures about, that's also unincorporated, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. So it's there now, as is. Yep. Yeah. You just can't have all carrot, no stick. We've been giving, especially in the Portland area, a lot of carrots, piles and piles of carrots, bushels of carrots. And we've had no pressure or positive inducement to spur change. And sometimes we can have every Catholic organization, every nonprofit, and you're going to have some people there that are going to absolutely resist being, adhering to whatever you offer. They will resist it for whatever reason. And there has to be we can't just allow that to happen without any regard. And so as long, I hope whatever we decide to do is balanced with, we will move heaven and earth to give you treatment and care. But at a certain point, there's a level of accountability that you will have chosen as an individual.
Okay, so how do we do this? Let's get down to the... We have vast, vast areas that we can't all attack at one time.
Totally.
Do we pick a pilot area? The problem when you designate a pilot area, soon they will figure out that I can't camp here. I'm going to go over here. It's like squeezing a water balloon. I squeeze this in the middle, and they go to the two ants. So we do not have the capacity to initiate a camping ban or a camping allowance through all unincorporated county. There's just no way. So I'm looking at it from very high level, time only, and don't consider manner and place, and just start with that.
You say time only or place only?
Time only. Well, time only.
So
time only. I guess, Paul, I guess place would be you can either pick a place or all unincorporated Clackamas County. The thing is, I don't see how we enforce this at our level. Seriously. We could take every single SHS dollar we have coming in and we would be spinning our wheels on camps. Mm-hmm. I kind of do like the fact, if you consider something, Vahid said a couple weeks ago they hired 25 people and he's interviewing three more. And so maybe he's up to 30 now. I don't know. He has, and they have places for those people to work. They're going out, I would assume, and doing some of this work. So I'm trying to really wrap my head around how we deal with camping. I always get stuck on money and I get stuck on the how. How we do this, and we can pontificate, oh, this is legal, this is not legal, these barriers, we don't want to do this, we don't want to do this. It still goes down to why are they homeless in the first place? We're still trying to fix the same problems. And is a camping ban going to help us fix the same problems that we have been targeting all along? I think that's the question we need to ask ourselves. Will it work for us? I don't know if it will. I don't know if it won't. I mean, I'm being open-minded. I just don't know how we get there.
Yeah. Do we have liability right now for not having anything beyond the fact that people are going to come to, Stephen? You know, do we have any right now legal liability?
We're at the lowest risk point right now by only having a state-required statute on the removal of unauthorized camping from public places. It's okay. State law, and we have that in our code verbatim.
Okay. So we mirror state law.
Exactly.
Okay, so if we have a camping ban or a camping allowance, does our liability go up?
It would, because you're dealing with more of a population. You're dealing with somebody challenging your clearly, objectively reasonable standards as well. It doesn't mean you can't have it. You would have to identify a piece of property, identify county property where you believe would be a suitable location to have a camp. You will have a NIMBYs situation there, just like Aloha just had in Washington County about the parking, the pods out there. You could have a place up on the Dorman Center, the Mount Hood place. You could identify that. You could identify the Vets Village 2 as another property. You could identify another property. Say that is where we will allow this type of overnight habitation by people without houses.
So if you did that and you connected it to LEED, we can just pull it up here, Blackness County LEED, Law Enforcement Assisted Diversion. Okay.
I love that program, yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. So if you designated an area and made it clear that an area there would also be subject to getting this kind of, but it's saying, it says to reduce future criminal behavior. So they may not have committed a crime. That's the other thing. Do you expand it where it's not necessarily just a crime, but if you're camping out there, we get this out there to, I don't know. Who are the other LEED partners besides law enforcement?
H3S. The DA.
I mean, you're not arresting them. They're not. Here it says when a law enforcement officer investigates an individual for a low-level offense, such as trespass or small theft. So we just call it trespass. A low-level offense, trespass, if you're just camping somewhere. And then you just say, okay, this is how we're going to manage it. With this already,
I think the crimes program are more than trespass and theft. Bill Stewart talking about that.
Really? Because it says here when an officer investigates an individual for a low-level offense such as trespass or small theft, and the officer determines that the individual is eligible for the LEED program, the individual will not be taken to jail. Instead, the officer will hand off the individual to an on-call social services caseworker / case manager. The individual must then complete an in-depth assessment as directed by the case manager within 14 days of the referral and sign a release of information allowing information to be shared with LEED partners. The investigating officer will then write an arrest report, and forward it to the district attorney's office for review. The deputy district attorney will review the report to ensure compliance with program criteria. If the individual completes the in-depth assessment and follow-up treatment and meets all the other LEED criteria, no criminal charges will be filed on the individual's case. If the individual does not follow through, criminal charges will be filed. So we already have this in place. So is that what we're saying, that we're going to make camping in a certain area a trespass issue? What triggers this program? Does it have to be that they did something illegal, or is it just that people are camping somewhere that's inconvenient and dirty? You know, the whole thing that people bring to it because of survival behaviors. Is there some way to involve it without, if they haven't committed a crime, but can't you morph this a little bit to expand to just people who are camping?
I would think so. If you're asking the question and stuff.
Yeah, or,
You heard Fahid last night talk about the CHAW program, right?
Right. Yeah.
So coordinate how so you get back, it's back into that navigation piece, right?
Okay.
It's not, there's no capacity to arrest everyone. There's no legal anything to say you can't be in Clackamas County. You have, as Matt Core said, and Mr. Munns, you got to have the place, right, where it's legal. I have a question. I have a comment to address what Tootie was asking. So my question is, it's not practical to say you can't camp here. It's probably more practical to say you can camp here, correct? Practically speaking.
There has to be an alternative, so yes.
Right, right. So
you can have an alternative.
Citing the place is the most important thing, not saying you can't cap XXX all over a large, vast county like ours. So I think, Chair, you asked about how do we approach this. I think maybe one model, one idea I like is look at all the models that are existed today in the jurisdictions today and say, hey, let's learn about them. Let's see how we compare them. Let's look at the models and also let's think about, was it 2.0? How's that coming? I don't know how that's coming.
2.0. There is some movement on it.
Yeah.
I thought somebody told me there was some movement on it.
But the car issue and then the non-car, the houses in cars and the houses that are not in cars are the two, whatever site we have, we got to accommodate both. And we just use those SHS dollars to get them into transitional housing, transitional shelters, and get them in a better place.
I have a question. So, Stephen, if somebody is on the outskirts of Sandy in unincorporated Clackamas County, and we say we have one site for you that you get to be at, or you don't get to, or you're in trouble, or whatever, and it's all the way in Oregon City. Is that even legal? There's no, I mean, it's an alternative, but it's not by disparity of geographics.
Likely not objectionably reasonable.
Okay. So that's the phrase objection. That's the thing.
Objectively, yes. If you had a spot, like I said, in Welch's area, you had a spot in Wilsonville, and you had a spot in Oregon City. For a county of our size, you're going to have to be diversified in terms of locations or you provide transportation as well.
So we're carting people around.
Oh, it's a county the size of Rhode Island, right? Yeah. So if there really are is a homeless population in the mountain, you're going to have to accommodate it up there. I don't know if there is, but if there were, that's
1.5 million acres in this county.
There's no way we're
1.5 million. I don't know how we say you can't have, you have a camping van over at the railroad tracks at Camp Withicum. And then I'm just going to go head over to a park in Oak Grove. I mean, I'm not sure if we're solving a problem or creating it.
Well, you could just let it be organic. And
thanks,
be,
thanks, Circuit. And we really, love you.
No, but you could just let it be organic then. If not having a place, we can see what is happening where people are landing. And then look at something like the, do we have to designate a place or do we just keep our eye out when folks are coming and have something like this available because it's popping up that way? That's more of an organic model. We don't know where people are going to go, where they're going to land. And then, it's a big county, and some people are just going to be in the forest somewhere, quietly hiding and just having a little enhancement. But, I mean, and actually there are people who would prefer that. I think they want
to be. That happens a lot in Southern.
I know. So, I mean, are we really talking more urban then? That's what I would suspect, because you can probably be a survivalist and live out in the middle of some of these areas without, I mean, so do you want it to be organic? Do we have to actually pick a place? Do we just see and be aware right now, but be ready with something like this program? And maybe expand it so it doesn't even necessarily. Actually, I look at this and I'm thinking that would save Measure 110 right there, right? Because it makes it illegal.
And the problem is,
and
we
you
would have
to when you say
the
well,
program. Yeah, the DA is going to need more DAs.
I know that.
If we really say, okay, we want to take care of all of this. There, and I'm not sure how we fund the DAs with SHS dollars.
I don't know either, but
that's a weird question. On the long move lines, Chair, has county council, just throwing this out there, ever prosecuted for the county outside from the DA? Is it only a function of the DA historically? Mm-hmm. Or has county council ever taken on that responsibility
Maybe before my time, they might have. It started off as a DA county council. Scott Parker, when he was one of the first.
So the DA was a county. DA.
He was DA, then he became county council. He was kind of doing two functions at the same time, and they might have been prosecuting.
So this is an unheard of. This little idea I threw out there.
What's that?
It's not unheard of.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh.
Yeah.
So what? One of the things I found on the Portland website. It was a PowerPoint, but basically that their plan was to have site locations, getting back to what we said earlier, located geographically, separate, balanced geographically is the word they used. So, you know, you wouldn't have one large site as opposed to several modest size sites. But the people, and I hear this a lot, the people in cars especially are the most mobile. So if you're trying to help them, and they don't, you heard this last night too, they don't know that their service is available. They don't know that there's rent. So some of these are just low hanging fruit. This doesn't apply to lead because they haven't broken the law, right? Yeah. We're getting them in a place.
But can we do a lead that doesn't, it's not about breaking the law. It's about where people are camping or living and you identify those areas. It doesn't have to be criminalized. I look at this and say, well, that's the solution to the drug issue. Make that a low level crime. Don't maybe throw them in jail. But okay, that's the answer to that piece of it. But does it have to be criminalized at all, or can we just identify them? And police don't have to, and the other things don't have to arrest anybody. Yeah,
the motive I don't think the motive is criminalized. You know, I don't think, you know, you say, sure, if you violate a ban, is that really a criminal?
Yeah,
I mean, if you get a traffic ticket, an infraction at traffic ticket, you're not a criminal because you ran through a red light, right? You're not a criminal.
No,
right.
That's what I mean. I mean, but this is saying, well, they do get picked up for something that, like theft or something.
Yeah.
But you can use the same model without that being part of the criteria.
I just think criminalize is not where
I don't,
not,
I don't,
no, not
what
I'm
that
thinking.
We want to use. I don't. I'm trying to get away from that. I'm trying to say, no, that's not what we're doing. I'm just basing on what I'm reading here. That it says
that's the lead. That's why you're reading. That's the lead thing. That is the criminal element. That's not the criminal tool. That's not the tool we're talking about.
Okay.
So you're jumping the lead.
No, what I'm talking about here is it says here for a low level offense.
Under lead.
But being homeless in itself is not an offense of any kind. It's a state of being that's legal. The state of being like high or drunk is not illegal. You have
it's not.
However, maybe possessing so much drugs on you is actually illegal, or you have been told that you've got to move along and you can't camp here. You're not taking the services related to you and you continue to actually trespass. Then maybe that's where it leads to that, but the state itself, am I wrong? The state itself in these instances is not. It's just you're in that state as a human condition. You are is not, and that's I guess Supreme Court has even ruled on that. That's just some law. Yeah. Am I wrong?
So I just want to see, no, you're not wrong.
Generally, you're right.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So Martha, just want to say all but in Vahid's presentation last night, lead and criminalization was not anywhere in our vocabulary. So you're going somewhere where we didn't go, and nor do we intend.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I don't think this is criminalizing it. I think this is law enforcement and social services working together to get people in the right place. Yes. No, I'm trying to get away from criminalizing that piece of it. However, this would work with measure 110.
But would you disagree at a certain point you have to bring some of the
there are there sure there be cases there will be those cases, but as we've heard, sometimes that's the path to success for them.
Correct. I agree.
Right.
And so I just don't want us to.
In those
of the cities, I think, have the additional element of there is the long suffering has an end in helping you and giving you every opportunity. At a certain point, like, you can only lead the horse to water, right? Like, and so I think within whatever policy we do, there needs to be some type of innovation around the accountability process.
So. We've talked about a lot. Let's circle back. What are we trying to accomplish? I'm serious. What are we trying to accomplish with a no camping ban / camping allowance?
I would say probably avoidance of being the last potentially the last, one of the few Jewish jurisdictions that does not have a camping ban. We've become a landing place for all that, which people are right now very concerned and claiming that that is happening right now.
And that's in the unincorporated urban area.
That people are ready to get out of Portland right now because they're not gonna get a pack up and move every 8 hours.
Have you had any conversations with Chair Harrington or JVP about their unincorporated areas and how they're addressing outside their cities? This hasn't come up for any other. Has AOC commented on that? What other counties are struggling with this question right now? Are we the first ones to bring this up, or Marion, Yamhill, any of them?
So the other two large counties, let's give it perspective, and they're approaching the situation much a different way. The camping ban mainly applies to the city of Portland, not Multnomah County.
Right.
So you have to understand the difference in the jurisdictions. Multnomah County is saddled with what's happening in the city of Portland. So it's hard to differentiate between those two. Regarding Washington County, I just don't know.
Okay.
One other thing I would add to that comparison of the counties, if you will, and this has been shared with me as well, is that the west side of Portland has less of a problem. The east side of Portland has most of the problem.
Just so,
and we border, Clackamas County borders the east side of Portland more so than anywhere else. So our vulnerability is on the east side from the 82nd corridor and out and down slightly west, slightly east and south. That's where the migration would be.
I just don't think we're the only county that is not going to have to deal with this beyond the city.
Oh, my God. Have you seen Marion County?
Yeah.
You know, they went and cleaned up under the bridge, and you know, the United Gospel Mission and all the buildings and all the turnkeys, 2.0, 2.3 on that, and they're right back there. So I'm not saying we don't do anything. I just want to know how and where we designate this. And I think it's a big, bad experiment that other jurisdictions have been struggling with. Maybe we look at models, like you said, going forward and seeing, well, I did this. Okay, you know, the Pearl City did this here in these areas. What did they learn from it? Was it effective? I think those are the two main questions we need to do. Ask those two questions and identify what jurisdictions it did. What has Vancouver done? Now, Vancouver never used to have a homeless problem.
They have it now. They're building shelters.
Yeah, they're building shelters. Well, Little Barrier shelters?
I don't know.
Yeah, see, so that doesn't solve our problem if they get to exhibit the same behaviors, but, you know, we give them a $400,000 room to do it in. So I don't know. I just don't know. What are you guys laughing at?
$400,000.
I say the same thing.
All I know about a lot of these programs, the ones that seem to work are the ones that work best with the law enforcement resources that they have. Like Oregon City and their long history of working with homeless in this city has been what capacity their law enforcement have and how could they provide that outreach and then tie them into services. And so that's, I think, bringing in the sheriff on some of this, like where are they seeing the most problems, the resources that they have to address it. Because it is going to be displacement that comes in, and you know we can't ban it outright in the whole county. But you could designate an area to say, look, this portion of our urban unincorporated, you can't camp here. But then designate a place within that where you could, and then you leave the rest of the county alone. It's kind of a pilot project, but you have to find out what the sheriff's office has as an ability to participate. Because without that, I don't think we have the resources in the county to.
Oh, I agree.
So just be targeted in a segment of the county, not the entire unincorporated area, is what you're saying?
Right. You know, where is the worst problem? Because it's always going to be about displacement. So if you target it there, potentially you could move it elsewhere in the county. But if it's focused on having the most interaction anyway, it might be an opportunity for you to apply some of these models from other cities.
That's smart.
That's kind of what I was saying. But maybe organically, where does it land rather than having a designated place?
You should drive down to Miniman Way or to DEQ behind there. That's not so much as camping as it is vehicles and RVs.
Oh, it's both.
Trash.
You need to go down there and see it.
Your closest own spot is probably the 5 acres at that charter school, which is right up the hill there.
Yeah.
Those pictures were all of the above.
All of the above.
It looked like a third world country.
Yeah. Yeah. You could probably possibly squeeze all the garbage, the one garbage pile, just one garbage pile I saw, not all of them, in this room.
that's wild.
Yeah, there were a number of tents. They're in the pictures. There's tents there.
Look, let's say, let's pick that area. Okay. That Matt was talking about behind the DEQ, which backs up the camp with it, I think, and the railroad tracks. Okay. Let's pick that area. What is it? It's probably a couple mile, square mile swath there. How many people is it going to take? Seriously, to pick up their stuff every night and put it in a pod and then bring it back out so they can have a night's sleep. And the pods that, or we buy the pods and stick them there. I mean, we're looking at, I bet you if we were to do this for a month, you're going to drop $1 million in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
In a heartbeat. And what have we accomplished? And I go back. What are we trying to accomplish? I understand there's this fear that all these people from Portland are coming into Clackamas County and they're going to camp here because they're not allowed to camp there. Do we handle it differently? And, we have all this money coming in for the next 8 years, says Jace. Maybe we just throw caution to the wind, spend it. Well, we tried it. It didn't work. But the NIMBYism is going to be really hot and heavy.
Well, there's some data, again, I haven't seen it all. I kind of alluded to earlier that where, there's a claim out there that actually, if you talk to some of the people that are in Portland, they're actually from Clackamas County. So you've got that double argument, right? So I'm not here to say which is which, but at the end of the day, I would argue back that the site we're talking about right now, if we had something in place, we would have prevented it from being what it is today. Mm-hmm. So it either we take action and watch it grow, or take action to prevent it from growing and tackle this as it is. But I'm more proactive. I think that we should get in front of it so that it doesn't become as sizable as it is today. I would argue that if we had that in place, I'm not saying we're doing anything wrong, but if we had it in place, it wouldn't be what it is today. Period.
I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced because they're just going to find a new place. Clackamas County is one big place. If they're not here, they're going to go here. They're going to go here. But,
A couple of years ago, you recall, H3S put out a request to the county for safety off the street project ideas. And I think we've got nothing really back. The only thing we have going now is initial looking at another village next to the military, the veterans village. But, until we actually can build a safety off the street parking area for cars to come in and A, park safely and then leave in the morning, a safe tent slice. Camping area. Until we get these things that we can actually use and direct people to use them, and if they don't take advantage of them, they can be arrested, correct? If Billy's camping on the side of the I-205 and he's offered a place that we have, the tiny house village, a camping area, and he refuses to accept it, then he can be arrested, correct.
205 might not be the best example. If it was on the county right of way, yes. If we have an alternative to you and you refuse to go, you could be charged with a trespass.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Or if I'm camping on
red soil,
commissioner's office's front yard, for example,
is lovely.
Private property, you can be trespassed.
Okay. So if we can get these things built, which is proven to be very difficult for the staff, and because we haven't got much interest in other nonprofits out there to help us with this, we're still going to just be spinning our wheels. It doesn't make any sense to tell somebody they can't camp illegally between 8 a.m. And 8 at night, but then they come back at nighttime. You see what I mean?
Chair Smith, we met with Salvation Army. Mm-hmm. And they
thank you, Matt.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They just talked about their program over at the airport where they contracted, I think, with Multnomah County.
Mm-hmm.
When they make sure it's safe, but you can bring your RV and
yep.
It's whatever condition.
They were on TV the other night.
Yep, and yep. You can, and they have managed that site to make sure it's safe, and they help, and they do robust, like, we're going to get service. So they told us a little bit of that program.
Right.
I'm wondering, because I also don't want it to be not programmed well, because then you just have scary tent cities, and it becomes like Mad Max on these little properties, and it gets a little dystopian and scary. So I like it, you know, but Salvation Army seems to already have a model that's working, and that they have kind of are probably worked out some of the kinks with it. Maybe as we investigate this, we need to reach out to groups like that to say, hey, how are you doing this, and how can we do it?
Do we have any county right of way and or county land that's not being used that we could do that with?
Yeah, we do.
What is it?
Well, the site the Salvation Army was looking at.
Yeah.
You got 14 acres on the Tualatin River.
Well, that's so nice. That is very
exciting. With a boat dock.
Great. Now our next poem is going to be packed.
We got it, Stephen.
You do have plenty of properties. Location is what you'd be looking for, though. Yeah. I mean, you have properties out in Beaver Creek. You have properties up going up the mountain.
Yeah.
You have properties down in French Prairie area down by Miletus. You have that OSU property. That's county property. It's under lease right now. We have property all over the place. You just need to find a proper location for it. You'll recall, though, a couple years ago, one of the churches down in Oak Grove tried to have a parking facility overnight.
Yeah.
And it went through our land use process. We approved it. Got challenged. And the conditions imposed upon it were so onerous because of the neighborhood. That the church couldn't do it. Fence, security, outhouses, lighting, screening, no alcohol, that whole list of things. So churches have tried, and there has been pushback.
But those house bills changed all that. So now they don't have that barrier any longer.
I haven't looked at it in that detail. Yeah. But
which house bill was that?
Was it 2003?
You're correct.
Yeah,
I think you were correct.
Yeah, they changed that. Yeah, those barriers aren't there.
I'm just going to add for Commissioner West, the five safety off the street ideas that were presented a couple of years ago all came with order, bathrooms, showers, mm-hmm. counseling, food assistance. They were organized as a means to get people off living out of the rough into a not a fancy situation, but one that's safe and orderly. To move them off the street into the first step of receiving help. So the idea was to get them very organized. It wasn't a Wild West.
Good. Yeah.
We all also need to be mindful that the citizens are paying with their tax dollars monies to solve this problem. We have those dollars available. They are applicable to this particular most every U.S. scenario we talked about here today, and they expect all elected leaders around this region and the state to do something.
So, my question goes back: have we identified county right of way or county property we could do this on?
Salvation Army was looking at some property here.
Well, I haven't picked
Salvation Army.
Yeah, I haven't picked the property, but we get the inquiries all the time.
Yeah.
Right? Salvation Army inquired about that property.
Which property again?
The property next to on the what was that new facility that got opened? That housing facility.
Fuller.
Road.
It was the blah, 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 fiberglass property.
Yeah, the old wild fiberglass site.
Are we on that?
Yes.
Well, we just approved a contract for someone to raise
the
building.
That'd be development agency property, though, right?
Development agency owned it.
That building to use it for.
Oh, it's gone. It's been torn down.
Well, I know.
No. You would do politics or something like that.
It already was being used for legal camping. Just make it some legal camping now. It already was camping.
Yeah.
Mark, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that
would have been solid. But that's not a horrible site to put something like that.
How many acres is it?
It looks like three or four.
It's 3.5 acres.
Three and a half.
Yeah. They were already out there. We already had a, I remember my first week or so as a county commissioner, and I did a ride along on a 14-hour ride along. That's where we went. And there was the guy that with a trailer in the back of his truck that had been there quite a bit, even built some stairs and a deck onto the sidewalk. And was drug paraphernalia littered like everywhere, the charred foil, the needles. And then I tweeted about it. And then Dan was like, at her next day, he's like, I saw your tweet, we're working on it right now. Commissioner West will take care of it. And it has been significantly cleaned up since then. But that property was a nuisance for that behavior and attracted it. And there was illegal fires in it and camping and all the rest happening anyways. So it isn't by anything that would really, I think, draw a bunch of NIMBYism or like, this is so close to my home or school. It's kind of isolated against the freeway.
Yeah. But so the getting back to my earlier point, I was making about the parking thing to make it compatible. What I've learned from people saying is that when you set up one of these sites, let's just say you take a piece of land, 3.5 acres, you do this. You disallow parking around there. So you avoid that stuff that comes with it, right? Mm-hmm. To keep it clean and orderly. You got a nonprofit that's there on site 24/7 to make sure the site's being managed. That's what these dollars are for. That's how you get that to manage it.
Want to set up another intentional community?
It's essentially a place again for our staff to connect with those folks to get them into something in a better place. It's transition. It's not
right.
It's not permanent.
Which is what the Veterans Village was transitioning.
Which is working well.
Yeah. It's working very well.
Yeah. And be mindful also what Vahid shared last night about how many people we already helped. We're reducing our homelessness. We just gonna need to, you know, we're doing the easy stuff now, what we're finding, but some of these more difficult populations need a greater level of service. Specialized.
Okay, I want to take a break. Can we have a 10-minute break and we can come back?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
People.
Are we online? We are back from recess, commissioners.
So much for signaling.
Our discussion a camping van and homeless situation. Who has the floor? I have a question though. No, I've asked, what are we trying to accomplish here? What if we expanded our current outreach that we're doing into these really problem areas for camping? Mm-hmm. Martha, you alluded to that, but we don't have the law enforcement element.
Right.
If we have all this money coming in, right, and it's very fluid, and we have the bonus monies of, what, $16 or $21 million, whatever is coming in, and we could target a part of that, too, for this without doing a camping ban. And in a way, we're kind of going, we're solving our problem. We're solving our problem. It's just that any decision we make, whether we have a camping ban or it's still going to take the workforce development to get there. Yeah. But I do would like to see what other jurisdictions are doing. And Gary, are there any other counties in Oregon and Washington, countywide, that have camping bans?
The Chutes, for one.
Okay, let's take a look at what they're doing. I don't know if they do or not. I heard they did something and then they took it back.
I don't know. I heard the Chutes was one of them. There were more than one. Maybe Klamath, possibly. I can't remember. But there was another
county. Yeah, strong counties. I don't know about cities. I can check. We have a listserv. I'll ask.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see what they're doing and how they did it. Was there designated areas and what did they learn from it? I think that's the main question. What did they learn from it?
Chair, you also, you know, kind of spurred the conversation in a direction that what properties do we have? We identified maybe one of them. but maybe we need a handful of them and have a larger conversation about doing what Commissioner Scholl has been advocating for since I've been here for 7 months. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've seen already a model of it from a really reputable longtime provider in the Salvation Army. And maybe we continue to have a conversation with them, Chair, since we just met with them about this. See if we can put that together. It seems like a relatively low infrastructure, quick, up and going response. Your house, I don't know if this can play at all. Maybe it's not applicable, but the RV housing bill passed.
Oh, right.
Governors, it's good. And so how do we now use that legislative fix to increase affordable housing supply so people don't just have to stay to safe use? Maybe there's a spot where they can actually utilize this. Mm-hmm. This allows us to be more creative policy-wise.
And that doesn't cost anything.
That doesn't cost anything. So maybe there's like we're patchworking things together here. There's a couple ideas, I think, that have come out of this. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I think if there's investigation, I mean, I can't make decisions here. I can only ask the questions. And, you know, Mark's had this idea for a while about, you know, RV park, whatever. Says, well, where's the land? Fine. Bring me the land. You know, so if the Miles Fiberglass site is suitable, there's ways of getting around, for instance, RV hookups, as we learned.
Yep.
So you don't have to put in a big sewer infrastructure.
Yep.
So
they spoke to that in our meeting.
They did. It was really interesting what they were doing. So
the Salvation Army.
But the issue with Salvation Army is they're faith-based.
Yes.
No, not faith-based. They didn't hear that EID.
There's been rumors that they have been unable to get any county contracts because often the waiting safe system, the amount of points that you can get for being adhering to EDI type worldview and policy consistently prohibited them from being chosen, and often less experience, less people with less ability got those contracts solely based on EDI policies. And so it precluded one of the better organizations in the country and in the world on this issue over the last century from actually being able to engage in Clackamas County, and there is evidence of that. But that's going to be maybe discussed further on the 11th of July. However, I don't want great organizations that are chomping at the bit to help us that are qualified and doing it well in other counties to be precluded because they have some type of faith-based association within the organization.
How does faith-based have anything to do with EDI and anything? It should be open to the side.
I didn't mean faith-based.
Faith-based?
I meant EDI.
Equity, diversity, and inclusion?
Misspoke when I said faith-based.
Okay.
Take that out of your mind.
Well, why would the Salvation Army be?
Because they did not adhere to the prescriptive bureaucratic requirement of EDI and how those points are heavily weighted because they were deemed to not be suitable in that lens. And often they will even tell you that certain governmental agencies, depending on their political ideations, have bristled against anything that is faith-based and being of service or use within those jurisdictions. And so I don't think I have to expound on that any further.
No, let's not get into that.
We're a little bit of creep here.
Yeah, let's not get into that.
Mission creep. Just to make sure you understand what I said.
Yeah.
Mission creep.
Anything else, folks? I mean, so let's do some outreach. Who's going to do it?
Look at models.
We provided you some of the better ones in that last packet. Those are city models. I will ask county councils what counties have adopted camping regulations, and to the extent they come in, I will share them with the board. We can share the recent Wilsonville one, as Commissioner West said, is pretty good.
And then the packet, when you resend that packet?
We can. Let us know if you need anything else from council.
Yeah, right. I would like to look at what counties are also considering it, not just done it, but considering it.
Got it.
Okay.
And Gary, can we do a deep dive on where we can put some of these sites.
Like land we own.
What can we do? And maybe we can continue to pick the brain of, I'm sure the Salvation is probably not the only organization, there's probably others that are doing this well and are having success, but it'd be nice to hear from those organizations.
Yep. But the Miles Fiberglass site would probably have to be transferred from the district. the Urban Renewal District to the HACC or whoever.
Okay.
But yeah, sure. We could buy it.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Because we have the money.
Yeah.
Anything else for the good of the order on this topic?
Tell you what, this is another nut that's so hard to crack that almost no state, no county in the nation has actually done it 100% effective. And unless we get back to the root causes of the things that cause a man or a woman to live in a rough on the side of the road in misery, we're going to, 10 years from now, the same board will be here with the same problem. You got to solve a problem, you always got to go to the root causes of the problem, and we're almost unable to do that at the county level. With that, is there coffee and donuts at the groundbreaking?
I don't know. I really have chocolate chip cookies.
I hope they do too.
So I think that's all. I will adjourn this meeting. Thank you all for your participation.
Thank you.